Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. So welcome to the next edition of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Hala O'Kaley, and she's the owner of Sarvam Yoga in Beirut.
Correct.
And she's also a lawyer, and I'm getting to know her a little bit through just being here in Mysore, and she's here studying as well. And the other night we had dinner, and she got to meet my daughter, and immediately I knew that this person was someone who I wanted to talk to and put on the show. Mostly because not she was super nice, but also because yoga in Beirut. So that's her hashtag, or excuse me, that's her Instagram handle.
Yogi in Beirut.
Yogi in Beirut. Yeah, I got to get it right. It's Yogi in Beirut, and you know, and I've seen her pictures, and I've seen like kind of like the message behind everything that you got going on, and I think it's actually really awesome to finally get to meet you and have you on the show. So. So let's get to know you a little bit, because I feel like everyone wants to kind of get a little bit deeper than what like Instagram has to offer.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about you and where you're from, and were you born in Beirut?
Yeah, I'm from Beirut, Lebanon. For those who don't know, Lebanon is a very small country in the Middle East, very influential country despite the very small size. It's a country that has survived a lot of wars, a lot of conflicts, and still does on a daily basis sometimes. It's a very interesting place because it's very cosmopolitan. We have around 18 religions. People are very hungry to live and have fun and enjoy life despite everything we went through. I grew up in Beirut, full-fledged. My entire life. Studied in Beirut school and university. I studied law, did my master's in France. And then I worked in Saudi Arabia for a few years in corporate law, majorly. And then I switched to yoga.
So did you quit the lawyer job, or do you still do this?
Basically, I was working as a lawyer for 8 years.
Yeah.
I had a really, really good job, like good in the sense that it pays well, it has the good title, power, everything. What happened is, I think what kind of brought me to yoga was, despite the very good job, despite everything that I had that was going well, the good partner, the good life, there was something inside of me that was telling me, why aren't you happy despite all that?
Yeah. And you found that when you were practicing law?
Because I had a really stressful job, full of anxiety. I used to work like 15 hours a day.
That's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
But that was all kind of a calling to like tell me, what do you want from life, you know? So it all happened actually when I quit my job, one of the jobs that I had, the last job that I had. And I applied to another law firm. It was a multinational law firm. And I got a really good opportunity.
Yeah.
Like a dream opportunity for my age back then.
Yeah.
And in terms of like financial, like in all kind of sense.
Yeah.
So it was actually it was in the meeting when I was gonna sign to like start working with them that I got that flash that like, oh my God, that's not the life that I want. And I was already practicing yoga. I was living in Saudi Arabia back then. I was already practicing yoga, mostly because I started yoga because of physical reasons. That's how it started with me. I always had like spiritual interest and curiosity about wanting to dig more, but I kind of didn't make that kind of connection between yoga as a physical practice and the spiritual side because I never really had a teacher back then.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of comfort that it gives me just being on the mat, breathing. And I started just looking at videos and like Guruji's videos.
I mean, I feel like everyone starts with the videos, like, you know, whether
it's... I was practicing for on like basically every day for like 2 years, just on videos.
And this was when you were in Saudi Arabia? Or
yeah,
this was,
okay. Yeah. There was really not so much yoga going on there. It wasn't so much allowed. Now it's better.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in that interview, and then the guy was like, you know, we want you to become a partner in a year. And this should have been my like open champagne kind of moment. And instead everything like was like my life just came in front of my eyes, and I'm like, this is not making me happy. So I took a step back and I'm like, what makes me happy? And it was yoga.
Yeah. And so was the only context that you had of yoga, was it only from the videos too?
For the most of it.
I mean, it's amazing.
I've been to a few classes, but not so much, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, just watching the videos and having a little bit of experience mm-hmm. in it, that you knew that you wanted to do yoga, especially when you have all of this like material stuff.
The breath can tell you a lot.
Say it again.
The breath.
Yeah.
Just you connecting to the breath is like a gateway to your inside world.
And but it had such a big impact on
huge,
you.
Like huge. From the, like seriously, like I got a goosebumps now just remembering the first time I was in Paschimottanasana, I swear to God. And I'm like, in the video, it was actually, I think, Guruji. And he's like, or someone, I don't know, no, it wasn't. Someone who was staying in Paschimottanasana, like, breathe deeply. And I'm like, there's something. There's like, it's like you open a door, you know? It's like you have opened a door of things that you didn't want to see inside of you, of things that you have been like keeping in drawer. Like you don't want to, it's like you don't want to meet yourself for many years. You run away from things just by doing shopping, by overworking, by distractions all the time. And then you start to come to your mat and to connect to your breath. And then this takes away some distraction.
Yeah.
And you're like, you can't get distracted as much anymore. Now something happened. There's a change.
Yeah.
You that
and the
breath.
Change the change it seems like with I mean if I'm hearing you right was like almost immediate, like as soon as you started practicing, like all of a sudden like you started feeling like you were unfulfilled at your job.
I wouldn't say that immediate. I would say it took like 6, 7, 8 months of like
of consistent practice.
Yeah.
Okay.
On my own though.
And it was a Ashtanga practice too.
It wasn't. To
it
be
wasn't.
Honest.
Ah, bad lady. No, I'm just kidding.
It wasn't. That's why I'm like in my mind. Sometimes I'm not so rigid with what people practice because something is a step to start somewhere.
Of course.
And I'm so lucky to have found Ashtanga because it's a different. It was a different transformation after that. But something else brought me to that.
Yeah, it's amazing to me because I feel like most of the time, you know, like Ashtangis will disregard other styles and will say like, this is the mm-hmm. only style that is awesome. And I do believe it's awesome.
It is.
But also I know that not everyone comes directly into an Ashtanga class right away. So, and that sounds like it's your experience too. Like, I mean, some people come through Vinyasa and they're asking for more
exactly.
or they're looking for something different or... They you know, and not to mention like the yoga is supposed to be teaching us open hearts and also open minds, you know, so all of a sudden you start adding like rigid onto, you know, the delivery system and all of a sudden it becomes like inaccessible for people, I feel like, or it turns you off or it would turn me off.
I believe like one of the main aspects of being on a spiritual path or on a spiritual journey is not to be rigid in your mind. The moment you start to adopt rigidity in the way you think or the way you deal with people or the way you look at other people practicing other things, I think you have lost a bit the entire purpose. We come from different places, from different colors, from different religions, and so does yoga. It's just a reflection of our different needs. It's just a reflection of our different characters. Not everybody is capable of stepping on their mat every single day, doing all the primary, sometimes with the intermediate series.
Yeah.
And like, seriously, not everybody is capable or has that mental strength or want to.
Yeah.
But a lot of people would come and do like the Shivanandasana salutations or would just sit and meditate or would maybe draw in a very meditative way. There are so many mindful activities. And I think to each his own kind of journey.
Of course.
I feel very blessed to have found that journey because it changed me a lot because of my personality, I needed something with a lot of discipline and also something that's kind of strong.
Yeah.
That kind of like kicks me in the face. And I feel that with Ashtanga.
I mean, you don't want to be kicked in the face, but
not anymore. But when you start practicing Ashtanga, it feels like a very strong practice. You soften with time.
Yeah.
You soften how you look at it, how you feel about it. But when you
I said the other day, I said, you know, because someone asked if it was ever going to get easier, mm-hmm. and I said it might get softer, but you're going to get better at it. It's not going to get easier.
I think it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it does. I remember my first Ashtanga class. I was in Shavasana for 20 minutes. And it was actually...
Sleeping?
Yeah. It was actually my first Ashtanga class was in my yoga teacher training. I did a teacher training, yeah. And I was practicing Vinyasa before then. I don't know what I was practicing, honestly.
Yeah.
For 2 or 3 years, I don't know what I was practicing. And I remember I was like, what is this practice? This is like magic.
Yeah.
Give me some of that Ashtanga. But
but it's intense, though.
It's intense.
Yeah.
I needed intense. I think with my personality, I needed intense. I know very well that some people, I know from my studio, that not everybody connects. And you don't want to throw people away. There are different ways. There are different journeys. That's why I truly believe in the totality of yoga beyond just one style and beyond just the mat, for sure.
Just because like it reaches more people?
No, just because there isn't one way.
Okay.
And to each person, his own path.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I do in my studio, I have people who just come to meditation classes. They don't even have an asana practice, and they're as truthful in their belief and in wanting to be better people. And what's yoga other than wanting to be a better person, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's like one of the fundamental things that keeps me coming back is
exactly.
I feel like a different and better person or better version of myself each time I practice.
Yeah. So it's yoga for me is a lifestyle, honestly. It's beyond a practice. It's just how I think, how I act, how I question myself and how it changed me from, I would say very bluntly, I think I was shallow.
Yeah?
And yeah. I was distracting myself with all kind of things. I wanted
material things?
Yeah. I wanted more. I just wanted more of everything. More, a better career, a better job, a better house, better car.
Yeah.
And then none of them was giving me any kind of happiness, honestly. It was just, yoga just made me content in the sense that I don't need all this around me to be happy. I still want to have fun. I'm like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I still want to enjoy life. But I'm much more content. I don't need all of that.
Yeah.
It doesn't bring me happiness. And I the thing I think personally that changed me the most with the practice is that I felt that I don't have to prove anything to anyone anymore except to myself.
That's beautiful.
And that was the biggest thing that happened to me because I dropped a lot of things. And Beirut is kind of a crazy place, huh? There's a lot of conditioning, there's a lot of judging. It's still a place that has a little bit of conservative part to it, still a lot of open-minded part to it. So it's very...
dynamic.
Yeah, it has a lot of controversy in it.
Yeah.
So it's growing up, you kind of feel sometimes that you have to prove a lot of things. It's a small place too.
But after you started practicing, you felt like you were in a place where the only person that you needed to prove
is me.
Is you.
Yeah. I just needed to prove to myself that I can be a better person. And I truly believe in...
You feel like a better person?
Yeah. I am a better person.
You feel less shallow?
I just feel that the moment, for example, I lie or I hurt someone, which I still do, like I'm not perfect. I mean, I try my best, but I still find myself sometimes doing wrong things. I just feel that it's yoga that brings me back to my senses that why did you do that?
Yeah.
And it's kind of keeping me balanced. It's kind of like holding me together all the time. It's like watch out, cause someone telling me watch out all the time.
Yeah. So do you still need all the stuff?
The other stuff?
Not
at all. No.
You don't need a fancier car?
I used to shop like on a daily basis.
You don't need that now?
No. Not at all.
Because you feel whole inside?
Because I feel it's just a distraction in a way, and that distraction is not needed for me anymore. I really enjoy my practice. I really enjoy teaching yoga. I enjoy other things. I enjoy more simple things and more genuine things. And I enjoy doing things with more totality.
Yeah.
And all the things that you do that have material connotations to them, they lack a lot of totality.
Yeah.
So you're not fully in it, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So I just enjoy doing things with more totality, even in my relationships. It has changed my life completely, honestly. Yeah.
You feel like your life is better as a result of practicing?
Honestly, it went through phases because I changed, but I was still in the same place, in the same relationships, in the same kind of work, and the same job. So when I started changing, there was an adaptation phase I'm changing. I don't enjoy as much shopping anymore. I don't enjoy going out to those places anymore.
Right.
I don't enjoy that crowd anymore. So there was kind of a little bit of confusion inside of me.
Yeah.
Of the old person and the new kind of changed person.
It's another thing that I feel like is crazy is I had almost the exact same experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made a lot of money when I was 21, you know, and I blew it all basically like shopping and getting better cars and motorcycles and houses. And I was unfulfilled.
Mm.
I was definitely unfulfilled. And I, you know, I turned to drugs and alcohol to like fill the void inside. Mm-hmm. But it felt like I couldn't get a grasp on like what I should be doing in my life. And so it seems that me and you were in a similar, I mean, obviously I chose the path of drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. It doesn't sound like you've done that, but it seems like a similar spot.
It's a distraction.
It's a distraction, of course, yeah.
It's addiction, it's distraction,
yeah.
it's the same in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty amazing to kind of have different parts of the world kind of having the same sort of experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy how like yoga becomes kind of like your anchor, you know? It's like...
You feel like that today?
Yeah, definitely.
Because it keeps you on track?
It keeps you on track. It also determines your relations. It determines a lot of things in your life. And your life starts to shape around that in a very nice way.
Yeah.
You know,
it seems that the practice is somewhat like orthopedic, where it's like surgically like kind of cuts out the things that are no longer needed
naturally,
anymore.
That's the best part.
Yeah, without a doctor,
without a doctor, surgeon, without effort somehow.
Right, where things that were okay are not okay.
Yeah,
anymore.
Like I wanted to be vegetarian for many years before yoga.
Yeah,
I mean the idea was there. I was just like, I don't want to drop that piece of steak. I still like it. They're dead anyways. That's what my mind used to say. And then with yoga, it was a natural thing to just stop.
Yeah.
It didn't take effort.
It
was natural. So things start to happen naturally to you. That's what I really love about this practice is you naturally want to come to your mat. Sometimes there are difficult days for sure, but it's not like someone's pushing you to do things. It's like naturally you want to come to your mat. Naturally you want to be a better person. Naturally you don't want to lie anymore. It changes you from within. It changes your nature.
Yeah.
So it's no longer you doing effort all the time to make change.
Yeah, it naturally happens.
Mm.
Yeah, the practice is super powerful. And so let's talk about like your Ashtanga journey,
because
you didn't start there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so why did you gravitate towards it? I know that you said that you liked it and fit your personality, but I mean, how does it speak to you or how does it resonate with you?
I started practicing Ashtanga in 2014, like 4 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How? Again, in the beginning, it was just how much it made my mind relaxed after the practice. It was like void after I practiced Ashtanga. And I needed that because I was a very anxious person and my mind would kill me. I'm like, how can I shut that monkey mind? If I have a thought, it would take me back and forth for like hours and hours. I can't sleep, I can't work. I'm like, that same thought is like killing me. And Ashtanga, it was just like void after I practice, and that void started to become something I was able to manipulate more. If like I was able to control more my mind, because it made my mind strong in a way, strong but still controllable.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. So it just makes sense to me. Just a practice that makes sense to me. It just makes sense to me to come and do the same kind of thing every day. It's very meditative to me. It's like you don't have to think or create. It's just you're following a method that has been approved, and that's something that I resonate with so much.
Yeah, same here, for sure. And so you feel like it makes you a better person, it sounds like.
I feel yoga in its totality makes me a better person. I work on many other limbs too, to be honest.
Like what?
Meditation, the yamas. I'm like trying to all the time integrate. And even in my studio in Beirut, we try to really embrace that totality of yoga.
Yeah. Have you taken the same sort of like corporate law, work hard, and applied it to working hard in your yoga practice?
It's different because it's not stressful.
Okay.
And it's something that I do with a lot of passion and with a lot of heart.
So it's not work?
It's still difficult sometimes, but seeing that you are changing people's life has a lot of value to it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the corporate law, I felt that I was just manipulating people's money and like maybe doing good to someone, doing bad to someone else. You know, I'm not saying being a lawyer is a bad thing, not at all, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that it didn't feel that I was fulfilling a bigger purpose. And seeing today that we are changing people's lives, like people come to us and they're like, I'm a better person, or I don't drink anymore, or I'm more healthy, or I don't eat, I'm vegetarian, or there are, like yoga affects you in so many ways,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
It's not like in one way. Just seeing that you are able to change people's life in a positive manner, like positivity is like the butterfly effect, right? It just spreads.
Of course.
And in a place like Beirut, it's very needed because there's a lot of stress. We've been through a lot of wars.
Why is there a lot of stress? Just
it's a crazy city because there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of chaos. It's a very cosmopolitan place again. Because of all the wars that we survived, it's a very unorganized country and there's a lot of corruption. So people are anxious all the time.
Because of another war or just because like there's no sort of like system for all of it?
Yeah, and there's a lot of chaos. Like on the streets, in your jobs, in the government, everything. Like if you have to go do like just a governmental paper, it takes you like a day or something. It's just a lot of corruption and chaos. So that affects you, you know?
Like it feels like India or no?
It can. It's very diversified in the sense that there you'll find a very posh street and then a parallel street would be like crazy mess, and it's very diversified.
Yeah.
It can feel like India, like noise-wise, yes. Definitely pop, pop, pop.
Right, non-stop beeping.
Yeah.
And so why did you start a yoga studio in Beirut?
When I saw how this practice kind of transformed me, how yoga kind of literally gave me a reason to be fulfilled in a way, and the reason it basically answered my question is, why you have everything, why aren't you happy? And I started to feel happy from within.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to spread this and I just wanted to reach people and trying to learn more about themselves and try to find some kind of inner happiness away from all the distractions, you know?
Yeah.
And I do feel that change, honestly. And I don't know, I think there's...
With the people?
Yeah, big time.
Do you feel like you're affecting the community like around Beirut as a result?
For sure. Again, it spreads, positivity spreads, right? And what if you're just being more aware, if you're just being more caring and more loving and more positive, that's what we're trying to do, right?
Yeah.
What else matters?
I don't know if anything else matters, really.
Humanity and... Yeah, I think we live in a very crazy, fast world that we kind of forgot about humanity, honestly.
Yeah.
And we forgot about people's issues and problems and we became too selfish. And yoga is about becoming selfless, right? So
yeah, it's the path of service.
Yeah,
so it's helping other people get
exactly. And it's actually one of the things we do in the studio. We have a karma yoga program. We work with NGOs. We give free yoga classes. We do events with them where we invite our community to do free work to people who have survived. We work with kids who have survived traumas, yeah. with women, with refugees.
So the studio gives back to programs like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And to students to come to your place?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so do you do one with addiction?
No, honestly, no.
Okay.
No.
Is addiction...
It's just that I honestly don't know how to, in a way. Yeah. I still haven't figured out that. I do know we have a couple of... I reached to you once, remember? A few of our students have reached to me and said that they have addictions problems.
Yeah.
And they said they go back and forth. But yoga keeps them, brings them back again to the mat, and then that stops them from drinking or doing drugs for a certain period of time. Then they fall. But a lot of people told me that they stop drinking completely.
Yeah.
Just by the practice itself.
I mean, and this is somewhat my experience. I mean, I have to do other things in order to stay sober or whatever. But for the most part, the practice provides the therapy that I need in order to no longer drink or pick up or any of that stuff again.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty amazing, the work that you're doing. I mean, it seems like, the perception of an American looking at a Middle East country is that you guys probably would never practice yoga.
Mm.
Maybe that's ignorant or whatever, but I mean, that's just the truth of what is said in our media and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's really amazing to see Beirut, having a yoga studio. And
it's yoga's becoming, when I opened my studio, there was only one other big studio in Beirut. Now there's so many.
There is.
Yeah.
And how long ago did you open it?
3 years ago.
Okay. So relatively short period of time.
It's becoming very popular, and I think it's amazing. Every time a studio opens, I'm like, wow, nice.
Another one.
Another one. I'm happy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, more the merrier. I mean,
definitely.
Because then also people basically find where they're supposed to be practicing.
Exactly.
Or the style or whatever it is.
It just means that people want. Sometimes you don't you might not be a great teacher, or you might not be a great student in the sense that you're a bit lost on which path or which practice or but still just your curiosity to come to yoga means that you are trying to dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Trying to go a little bit beyond the everyday life and beyond the materialistic life. And that alone is a huge change, right?
Of course.
And starts to open up gates for you, and then you'll find your path eventually if you still have that strong curiosity. Beirut is a really cool city, by the way. It's really cool, but it's also crazy again. And I've seen we do events sometimes, just public events, and hundreds of people come.
Awesome.
We've done a few in the past 3 years. We've done around 6 big events where we've had 200-300 people.
Jeez.
And just to see how much people are curious to find that inner peace.
Yeah.
It's cliche, inner peace, but they are. They just...
Right. If they're affected the way that you described, they're looking for less chaos. They're
definitely
looking for a better way of life.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, because also in Western society, I feel like we're unhappy at our root as well. We're unhappy. We have all the stuff, but everything is chaos.
Mm.
It's constantly go, 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 go. Yeah. And that's exactly kind of what you're describing as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can come to yoga for different reasons, but you will still leave with a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
You can come just to get a better body
or
just curiosity, or just because your friends are going. But that's cool, because you will still leave with benefits, and the benefits will depend on how much you want to dig deeper and commit, right?
So
different people come to for different reasons and different styles, different schools, different methods. suit different people, I think.
Yeah.
I truly believe in the Ashtanga method. It has served me in a great way. It keeps me going.
Yeah. And so let's talk about your teaching. Do you teach Ashtanga?
I do, okay. Not Mysore.
Okay.
I teach lead classes. I've only practiced with an authorized teacher for like 3-4 months. That's it. But my teacher training was Ashtanga.
Okay.
So that's where I learned the count, the name of the postures, the anatomy, blah, 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 blah. I'm not saying that's the best way.
Yeah.
But I'm saying this is how Ashtanga was introduced to me. I didn't know otherwise. I didn't even know of that
plan, of course.
Of Mysore.
Yeah.
I really didn't know. And I was practicing for 2-3 years and I had a kind of okay practice. And I didn't even know that I can go to more than just primary. Until I started practicing with a teacher and he's like, "What? How long have you been doing primary?" I'm like, 3 years. He's like, "Why didn't you just try Pashat? Why didn't you do Pashasana?" I'm like, "I've never had a teacher.
Never had a teacher to tell me to do that.
I don't know.
It's like, I didn't know there was a second series.
I didn't care, you know? For me, it was just like the practice. I didn't care to get more postures, honestly. For me, it was just the practice that I enjoyed and just that commitment and just that mental state that it puts me in. And I didn't care how far I can go. Now I care a bit more.
Yeah.
But I'm here. but it was never how much I can go.
Yeah. Yeah, it was about what the practice gave you instead of like what
practice.
You could get from it.
Yeah.
Or what postures you could get.
It's just like showing up. Showing up, being on your mat, doing that every day. And how much it changes you, how more peaceful it makes you, or it should make you.
Yeah. You teach other styles too?
Vinyasa.
Yeah. Is it infused with Ashtanga?
Very much.
Of course it is. That's why I asked. It's a loaded question.
Very much, yes.
I mean, it's like when someone's a Ashtanga practitioner and they teach Vinyasa, I feel like the Vinyasa class ends up being like an Ashtanga class.
It's
almost.
Just more playful. That's it.
You're nicer to them, basically, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not. It's just more fun for them.
So you crack the whip for them?
I still like have that kind of Ashtanga personality in me, you know, in the sense.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of like the quintessential Ashtanga personality.
It's just more playful. And some of my students, I beg them to come to Ashtanga and they wouldn't.
Yeah.
They would not. They cannot.
It's hard sell.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing it in Columbus, Ohio for a really long time. And you know, sometimes it's really hard to get new people into the door and get them inspired to do the practice. I mean, Mysore style is always like the easiest because you can kind of fit it to them a little bit easier than lead classes. But yeah, it's very difficult.
But eventually, I think I would stick to teaching only that. I'm not ready that though yet.
You're not ready? Mm-mm. Okay. How many times have you been to Mysore?
First time with Saraswati was a few months ago, and this is my first time with Sharaji.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I am. I mean, yeah. I'm not staying for a long time, but I am excited.
How long are you staying for?
Just 1 month.
Yeah. Okay.
I have to go back.
too much going on at the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what has been your experience so far?
Here?
Yeah.
What has been my experience so far? You know, I kind of find a lot of softness in Guruji, in Sharaji, that I didn't know exist before.
Right.
Yeah, and it was just feeling how caring he is and how soft he is, despite that the practice is like very intense. It just makes sense to me. It just gives me more confirmation to keep practicing this Ashtanga.
Yeah.
His method, how caring he is, how attentive he is, just gave me confirmation that, this is a strong practice, but he's not as rigid as I thought he is. And
his reputation is obviously that he's like the most rigid person.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that when you're in his, like, he's almost carrying your problems somehow.
Well, and also what I've understood was that he teaches all of us differently. And so some people, like, he's very kind of difficult with, and then other people he's, you know, a little bit more strict. And But his reputation is that he's super strict.
Yeah,
like, you stop at this posture, like, you know, all of this.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a big reputation that he has. But when you get to meet him and you get to listen to his conferences, he might be all of that stuff that I just mentioned, but he's more
than that. I like how real he is, too.
Of course.
Like, he's not pretending anything. He's a very real person, and that gives me also comfort, because that's what I want in my own life, just be real, you know? He's not trying to wear all white or pretend stuff, or he can pretend to be the guru of the entire world, right? Like, there's a lot of people following him.
Right.
And he just keeps it real. And that gives me a lot of comfort that this is a true and real practice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's wearing his Nike pants and he's wearing like a
Stanford
shirt.
He's not trying to prove anything, right? He's not trying to prove anything.
No.
And the energy in the shala is really, like, beautiful.
Describe it to me.
Just to see so many people coming from all over the world, and kind of like, just to practice in that shala and to practice with him is just crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people are sacrificing a lot of things in their lives, leaving their kids, leaving their jobs for like 1-2 months, and just coming here and studying with Charaji is crazy. Like, and they're not doing it to get a certificate, for example. They're not, like, it's not like a teacher training. You're not doing it with a purpose. You're just really here for the practice.
Right.
And to just be here for the practice is really beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's simple.
It's simple.
But it resonates so deeply that, you know, you're, to a certain degree, addicted to this, the feel-good aspect of the practice and that connection with everyone.
It's not always feel good, but there are some like hard days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of hard days recently.
Yeah.
Leading up to this new moon, I was like, this is terrible. My body is killing
me.
Just
my first 2-3 days in the shala was like, oh my God, I can't breathe.
I mean, I've been struggling with breathing as well.
Oh my God.
Because it's so thick in there.
It's so thick. It's so hot. It's so humid. And just him being there is like, whew. And just like, I have to remind myself, breathe, 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 breathe.
Yeah.
And funny enough, he also like, he was helping me with dropbacks and catching, and he's like, you're not breathing enough. And just was a reminder to like breathe.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing that he was paying, you know, there's like 75 people practicing at one time.
Mm.
When I was assisting, I counted them one time. I was like, I need to know how many people are in here. But it's amazing that there's 75 people in there. And he was still paying enough attention to
to say
something.
He's like, I'm,
it's remarkable,
because I told him that my sacrum hurt when I was trying to lift up from drop back. I had a lot of pain in the first few days. I did something wrong. I don't know what I did. And he's like, yeah, because in drop backs, you're not breathing. I'm like, where did you see me not breathing? I didn't even know I wasn't breathing. And then I did the first one and I stood up and he's like, see, not breathing enough. I'm like, oh, that's true. I was kind of like holding the breath. And he was with me for like 5 minutes just teaching me how to breathe.
Yeah.
You know, and like, although I had a lot of pain, he made me catch and he was like constantly reminding me to breathe and it felt great.
Yeah.
Because
if you're not breathing, it feels...
He's got some magic.
Of course, yeah.
There's some magic there.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely got healing hands. I mean, I feel like he's holding the whole weight of everyone that's here.
Oh,
I mean, it's, for a normal man, it might crush him.
Yeah, and it's just humbling to see how dedicated he is. It makes me really want to be more dedicated, because he can be like just doing teacher trainings all over the world and doing all the crazy things to like, you know, to make use of all those people who follow him. And he just keeps it simple. He just tells people, come here, pay a very modest amount of money, and he's dedicating his entire life to that.
Yeah.
And this is great.
It is great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also the reason why I feel like people, you know, continue to come and continue to practice.
It's real.
It's real. Mm. It's very nurturing to a certain extent.
And it works great with the ego, I think. The Ashtanga method. I forgot to say that.
How so? Tell us. It's never too late to talk about this.
I think for me personally, because like if you go to a vinyasa class, for example, you pick the things that you like and that boosts your ego. here you have to go through the back bends and the legs behind the head and the things that you're good at and the things that you're really bad at.
Right.
And there's no running away from all of that. And that's like a lesson to the ego. Watch out. Don't get too excited. Maybe you can jump through, but you cannot do a good back bend. And it's like constant challenge.
Of course.
And there's always more. And there are always better people. And that's also a lesson for the ego.
Yeah.
That there's no end line, right? Like you're practicing next to someone who's in his third series and I'm just maybe in my primary. And it's like, I can reach there, but they can also reach more.
Right.
And there's no end line. There's no finish line.
Yeah.
It's not about where you get. And that reminds the ego of like, stay tuned. Stay chill,
yeah.
Be present, do this just for this, no expectations, no constant hunger to do more or to like show off. Yeah, so it personally worked great with me with respect to my ego.
Yeah, because you struggled with things?
Nothing came so easy. I mean, I don't feel like...
I've seen your Instagram, I feel like you're kind of lying.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... I see a lot. It's like you got to be good at it because some of the pictures that Agatha takes of you are beautiful.
I'm just dedicated. Okay. Nothing came easy.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Nothing. I mean, nothing was extremely hard, to be honest. But I wasn't naturally flexible at all. Like my back bend a few years ago looked like crap. So yeah, sorry. My back bend looked really bad.
I couldn't touch my toes when I started.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I could not touch my toes. I mean,
my heels were like really off the floor and downward dog.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, so I'd never felt that it was a struggle.
You felt like it was just something that you were doing for your mind?
Yeah, and I liked the small progress that I was doing.
Because you could see it.
Yeah, and somehow, I don't know, my body, despite of not being so open, it just cooperates because I think my mind is in a way cooperating.
Cooperating with your body?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they're working together, finally?
I think so. I truly believe so, honestly. Because, yeah, like sometimes I'm not in a good place in my mind and like my body kind of blocks. And I just need like, just like backbending, you know? Like, remember to be calm.
Yeah.
Breathe.
Don't hyperventilate.
No, and it will happen. It will come. Everything will come.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it's been kind of amazing to get to know you. I know we had just a little bit of conversation over Instagram and stuff like that, but I appreciate being on the Heartbreak Kids and kind of sharing your philosophy and everything that you're doing in Beirut. And for everyone who's listening, you should go and check out Yogi in Beirut. check out her Instagram page. It's quite beautiful. So thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time.